T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Things are getting very complicated around here because Sean Morash and Tiki Barber have joined forces. They are now co-owners of a fantasy baseball team in my long-running fantasy baseball league, and it's a keeper league. And the keeper deadline is about an hour and a half from now. They're new to the league. They took over another team. And there's some finagling. There's some trading going on. And this is very exciting. Welcome to our world, Sean and Tiki.
Nerd alert!
It is such a nerd alert thing right now. Oh, man. I can't wait till this part is over.
Me and Tiki have all eyes on beers on a Friday. Right. And we're getting a million texts about draft picks.
That's right. It's all about keepers. Our keeper deadline is this week. And then, of course, the big fantasy draft is in a week and a half. And everybody's very, very excited. Very, very, very excited. We're a week and a half away from opening day. In fact, tonight's the Yankee season premiere here on WFAN, our first Yankee radio game of the year. We have confirmed that Susan Waldman is down in Florida, and she will be calling the game with the great Ricky Ricardo.
In fact, WFAN's going to air about 8 games in the next 2 weeks. That's We're right. getting Susan for all 8. And 4 different play-by-play voices.
Really?
Do you know them all?
Yeah, I got the list here. Ricky for the first 2 games.
So that is tonight and tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't have the dates on the rest of the year. I just know, obviously, that's just to fill out the next 2 weeks. It's Ricky for the first 2. Then we go Emmanuel Barbari for the next 2.
Nice!
Oh, I like Emmanuel.
Then Justin Shackle for the 2 after that.
Very nice.
And we close out spring training with John and Susan reunited for the final 2 games on the
field. Wow, and those final 2 games, if I'm not mistaken, are during our show. It's afternoon baseball. And they're not just playing any old team. It's the New York Yankees against the New York Mets. That's right. Subway Series Florida edition to get us all warmed up for opening day.
What did I call it last week?
Yeah, you had some name for it.
Oh, I can't remember now. It started
the Sandbar Series.
Yes, the Sandbar Series.
I want to hear John call it that. Oh, Susan, it's the Sandbar Series. By the way, I've got a fascinating stat that Met fans will use against their Yankee fan friends over the weekend, and Yankee fans will pretend I actually never said. That's coming up right after the Cinco de 5-0 in 10 minutes. But first, let's go to Ryan in Philly. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, Ryan?
Hi, Evan. Hi, Tiki. How are you?
We're good.
Good, man. What's up?
So this is my first time calling in. I just want to preface, I'm a lifelong Giants fan. Ended up going to college here in Philly. Ended up staying here for work. So
nice.
It was already bad enough being a Giants fan in this city. And then hearing the news about Barkley just made it 10 times worse.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to make a point about that, that I feel like a lot of people seem to be forgetting. Like, I've heard from Eagles fans and even from Giants fans that are like, well, you know, they should have paid Barkley and, you know, they should have paid him over Daniel Jones. Like, am I missing something? Like, do people forget that the Giants did offer Saquon like a longer term contract before?
It was
last
essentially
season?
The same deal. At least that's what was reported. The one that he took
exactly.
just a year later.
Exactly. So I don't really understand where all this is coming from, where people make comments like that. You know, he had an opportunity to sign with the Giants.
He did.
For a long time.
I think that it was a different negotiation a year ago. I mean, Saquon Barkley was coming off a different season a year ago. The Giants were in a different position a year ago. So Saquon Barkley deciding not to take that contract at the time, you could argue was a bad decision because he didn't get to fulfill his mission of being a lifelong Giant.
Yep.
Or you could say, well, it worked out. He's on a better team. I hate to admit that. And he basically got the same contract. I think the criticism of the Giants is twofold. There's two criticisms that you can levy at Joe Shane and the New York Giants. The first criticism, because it's a Friday at 4:51, I'd rather have Sean say. Sean, what's the first criticism again that you could lay at Joe Shane for the handling of Saquon Barkley?
It's the thing at the trade deadline.
I'm aware. They should have traded him.
Okay. We move on, right, Tiki?
Yeah, we move on. Look, the reality...
You're dead to me.
The reality is that over six seasons,
yes,
they paid Saquon $48 million.
$48 million.
Right, and most of it was in the signing bonus.
My math tells me that's $8 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a huge number, but that's kind of what the going rate is.
Right.
So it's not like he overperformed it. And it's a couple of seasons he did. A lot of me underperformed it.
Yeah.
Simply because he wasn't available, because he missed parts of so many seasons. And so, like, the Giants had to make an economic decision based on their thought of what his future availability would be. That's why they didn't offer him anything this season. And it's not like he came off a fantastic year from a year ago. And so, like, I get the ire both ways. I do. The fact of the matter is he's a Philadelphia Eagle right now. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. Now, he wrote a very nice thank you to the New York Giants.
You don't know what you
Instagram.
Did. That's very funny, by the way. And I'll explain it later.
Another nice thank you for the New York Giant fans. And maybe that bridges this a little bit. But he's still an Eagle at the end of the day.
What Tiki did, and I don't think he did it on purpose, shows the pure dichotomy
yes.
between me and Tiki Barber. Tiki said in explaining Saquon Barkley go to the Eagles, he's not here anymore, and there's nothing we can do about it. I said the exact same thing a little over a year ago on an emotional Friday night about Jacob deGrom, except I said the exact same sentence very differently. So instead of eloquently saying, and I do not think Lugie has the drop to play available. If he did, you would hear it. So does he have it? If he doesn't have it, I'll reenact it, by the way. Mm. Oh, he's screening a phone. That's fine.
Okay. I don't know if he has it.
Anyhow, hey, Lugie, real quick. Do you? If you don't, not a big deal. I can act. I'm a good actor.
Sorry, I was screening a phone
I don't know
call.
If you've seen Private Parts.
I have.
Do you still Several have times. The audio of my reaction to Jake leaving?
I don't know if I ever had it.
You so, don't?
Well, he have to... Okay, I don't want to throw somebody under the bus here, but I will. Chris McMonagle, my dear friend, was absolutely, quite frankly, miserable at labeling things and putting things in the right places.
Oh, so it's probably there? It's just you have no idea
God only knows. He didn't even know where things were half the time. Chris, you know I love you. So I could look for it, but right now I don't have
it. No, it's
done.
Totally not worth
but
it.
But I can reenact it, or you can reenact it.
I think you should reenact it. So if you, again, just to reset the last 30 seconds, Tiki very eloquently said about Saquon Barkley, look, he's a Philadelphia Eagle now. There's nothing. He's not here. There's nothing we can
do. He's gone! There's nothing we can do!
So that's how I said it about DeGrom. We said the exact same thing, except you said it calmly and eloquently, and I was screaming like a lunatic.
I only get emotional when I have to.
Yeah. Like when Ryan Clark starts crap.
Shut the hell up, Ryan Clark.
I wasn't even emotional. I was just kind of like... That's you true. Don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You're on the team for 2 years.
And by the way, how about some of the teammates around here? How about our guy, Greg Giannotti? Who knows Ryan Clark? I totally forgot this because I've heard him tell this story before.
Oh, because of Pittsburgh.
Because he worked in Pittsburgh. And this is before he ever attacked you. Like, he had said things about Ryan Clark because he's like, this guy's a jackass. And I forget the exact line. Hold on. I think I have it on my phone because I cut it because I thought it was great. Good job by Gio. In how he attacked Ryan Clark. Hold on a second. Let me find this. I'm not even going to send it. Here we go. This is what he said about Ryan Clark.
Tiki Barber.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo
is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Taught you how not to be, then Tiki Barber was doing the right thing in the locker room because you were a dick.
Wow.
You don't have to dump
Richard,
it.
A Richard.
You don't have to dump it. Our morning guy said that. He knows what the hell he's doing. Don't get all concerned. I'm going to play it again now.
So great job out of Gio, because I guess he apparently knows Ryan Clark, and he's a giant Richard.
It's a nickname for people named Richard. No, Ryan, yeah. Perhaps his middle name is Rich.
It's been a big week for that body part.
Let's go to Greg in Tom's River. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, guys. Hey, Evan, before I get to my serious question about Aaron Judge, I think the Yankees should hire Izzy Mandelbaum as their, speaking of Seinfeld, Izzy Mandelbaum.
That would be a good idea, right? That'd be a good idea. Yes.
So, anyway, as far as Aaron Judge and a lot of the players today, nobody collects more data than baseball. These guys have diets. They have workout regimens on the off seasons, in-season workout regimens. They end up with these strained calves, a hamstring pulls, back spasms, neck problems. How much effort do they put into finding out why these guys keep getting these recurring injuries? That's question number one. And question number two is, do you think these guys today are just lifting too many weights? Those are my two questions.
I think the answer would be the latter, the second part of what you said. Like lifting weights, getting stronger, and naturally, I mean, obviously not talking about steroids and stuff, but getting stronger is what naturally, like intuitively, you feel like is going to make you a better athlete. I remember when I was playing, once I met Joe Carini, it was like, all right, let me put on as much weight as possible, meaning on the bar. Like, let me squat as much as possible. Let me deadlift as much as possible. And for a sport that's not as refined, I guess, like football is just brute. It's just like, can you withstand punishment for 50 plays or 40 plays or whatever it is? Baseball and other sports like basketball and golf, like there's a fluidity that you need in your body. And if you're lifting too much, I think it can sometimes be detrimental, even though you feel really good. Like you feel good and strong, but you've sacrificed something.
Right.
Right. You've sacrificed your muscles' ability to be limber and pliable and adjust to compromised positions. And so I can't tell you how many obliques we've seen in the last, I don't know, 8 years. Used to never hear about the oblique. It was usually, and now it's mostly pitchers, but now we got it with Aaron Judge. You just seem to never hear that injury. And now you hear it a lot.
I've had this theory about this, and this is not me saying players are soft or not soft. I think the organizations have a lot to do with this, maybe even more so than the players. I think that more injuries are diagnosed now. I think guys probably played injured all the time, maybe 15, 20, 40, 30 years ago.
Maybe.
And I think that's something, especially with pitchers. Now, I can see how pitchers get hurt more. I explained this the other day, that to me they're throwing harder more frequently, and that's an obvious thing. Like back as a kid, not that I was a kid that long ago, a guy throwing 98 miles an hour was special. Mm-hmm. Now it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So guys are exerting themselves a lot more.
And it's not like, oh, I hit 98 and I did it. They do it again.
Yeah.
And do it again.
It sucks, man, because you want to see great players play. And Mike Trout and Aaron Judge are great players. And a part of their career story is going to be they didn't play enough. They just didn't play enough. They didn't play consistently enough. And not to bring it full circle to my wonderful beard, but I will. On this day in which we're not on TV, SNY was carrying the spring breakout game. But I've got a green and orange beard today for St. Patrick's Day. And the beard is growing long out of loyalty to my good friend Pete Alonso.
Nice.
Pete Alonso never gets hurt.
Uh-huh. As I knock on wood.
Why would you say that?
Because
for opening day.
What kind of beer are you drinking on Sunday?
What kind of beer am I drinking on Sunday?
Yes.
You know what? Over the weekend, I had a Bud Light. I know that sounds like, oh, cool, Bud Light. And it was so refreshing and easy. Yeah. But I think I'm just going to go back to the basics.
It's sometimes nice to go back to basics.
Yeah.
It really is.
5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Sean's now pissed because he's like, damn it, I should have done that.
I know.
The best beers for St. Patrick's Day.
I've absolutely screwed that up. By the way, it'll be a 12-pack of Land Shark as the Rangers kick the Islanders' ass for me.
Before you say anything, you didn't know it was St. Patrick's Day on Sunday?
I did, and I forgot.
Okay, because my beard is green and orange for St. Patrick's Day.
You know what? I forgot, too, until he said
I'm dressed like a St. Patrick's, logo, basically.
You're right. I have screwed this up greatly. I should have done a St. Patrick's Day-related Cinco. Uh-huh. I didn't. I was so focused that Sunday's more about the Rangers beating the Islanders, I forgot. Cinco Day 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, so there's a lot of Clarks in the entertainment and sports industry. Some of them very irrelevant, but I'm just going to give you the five best Clarks of all time.
Five best Clarks of all time?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
All right, Will Clark.
Oh, I get it now.
Got it now? Register in Greenface?
So over my head.
Most things are. Unbelievable.
I apologize. Clark.
That's the theme. Will Clark. 14-year career, six-time All-Star.
First baseman, left-hand hitter. Yeah, I like Will Clark.
Beautiful.
Unique-looking man, too.
Yeah, and a nice man, you know?
Great guy.
Yeah.
Somebody number four.
We like Will Clark.
I think Will Clark looked up to a lot of veterans in his locker room. I'm going to go number four. Dallas Clark, Peyton Manning's favorite tight end.
Yes. Another tremendous teammate. Tight end, good player. Yeah, good guy. I never hated Dallas Clark. I had him on my fantasy team a couple
Super
times.
Super Bowl champion, too.
I said, I was told Dallas Clark led a lot of Bible study.
Not a Richard. Not a Richard.
Number three.
Dwight Clark, the catch. Right. I mean, come on.
Yeah, of course, legendary.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Did plenty of pizza parties with teammates. On Fox.
Here number we go. Two.
Dick Clark. Now, by the way, he's been dead for quite a few years, but is it a Rockin' Eve without Dick Clark?
I mean, he's dead, but his show is not.
No.
It's still Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve, even if it's Ryan Seacrest.
Think about that. Ryan Seacrest is so famous, he can't shake Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve.
It'd be like if we were doing the Mike Francesa show, and it was just me and Tiki doing the exact same show.
It's crazy. When I worked at NBC, I did that.
You did the Dick Clark show?
I did the show.
How about that?
It was amazing.
New Year's Eve?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's an experience.
It was unbelievable. It was awesome.
That's the only time I'd want to be in New Year's Eve Times Square working.
I never went back again.
Number one.
And last but not least, number one, could it be a former safety podcaster? No, I'm going to go Clark Griswold. The best every father. That's Cinco Day 5-0, the only five relevant Clarks. Take care of it.
And now I know Loogie shadowed you. I've got two that jumped out at me right away, but I want to respect Loogie's shadow to hear if he has it as well. Go ahead.
Okay, so my top five, number five, I had Caitlin Clark. Number four, I have Will Clark. Number three, tight end. I did Dwight Clark like Sean did. I did Dick Clark. Sean, come on. Number one, the Clark bar.
Okay.
I have to revoke your fat card now? The candy bar?
You know what, Loogie? I have never had a Clark bar.
Really?
It's an old man's bar.
I don't even know what it tastes like. I can't even picture what the wrapper looks like.
Can we admit we've given
it yellow? Am I thinking of the right bar?
No, it's white and red.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, yeah, you're right.
What's the candy? Is it like...
Isn't a Clark bar like a Nestle's Crunch bar?
Yeah,
almost the same thing.
I got nuts in it.
It's crunched up nuts.
Oh, then I'm wrong.
What, you like crunched up nuts?
No, I don't like crunched up nuts. I like Nestle's Crunch bar.
So you prefer your nuts bigger?
Shut up. My two Clarks you missed, by the way.
Yeah.
Clark Schmidt of the New York Yankees.
Oh.
And I thought it should have been number one.
Who?
Clark Kent.
Over Clark Griswold.
Clark Kent!
It's Clark Griswold.
He's Superman!
And Clark Griswold is Super Dad.
All right. Thank you, Sean. We appreciate it.
Hold on. No.
Come on.
We're going to just spend 30 more seconds on Cinco for this.
That's fine. What?
You've had him do a shadow list two straight days, okay?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't good enough. He gave you the Clark bar number one he isn't going to talk into?
It's just the shadow list. There's less pressure on it.
The shadow list stunk.
Okay, you want me to say your list was better?
That's all I'm looking for.
Today, Sean's list was slightly better. Correct. Agreed.
That's all I needed. I'll talk to you Monday.
Even Tiki agrees. Thank you very much.
Only because the Clark bar I've never had.
Yes, I can understand that.
It might be epic. It might have I might have to go. Next time I'm in a store and I see one, I guarantee I'm 100% going to buy it.
If I'm not mistaken, the only time I've had a Clark Bar is at Halloween, and it was a mini Clark Bar. Like, it was just one of those extra candies in one of those bags that has a mix of candies.
You're like, what is this?
So I don't remember it that vividly. Real quick, and I want you guys to be able to use this amongst your friends over the weekend. I crunched some numbers earlier today, and sometimes numbers are fun to crunch, and they tell you a story. The New York Yankees and the New York Mets will go into opening day in similar situations in terms that their aces are not there.
Yes.
Okay? So in the Mets' case, it's Kodai Senga. We've known that for a while. His timetable pushed back a week now, according to David Stearns today. Hopefully we see him in May. Who the hell knows? The Yankees without Gerrit Cole, right? So the Mets and Yankees are similar in that the rest of their rotation was already set. Like, we know Severino, Quintana, Manaea, and Hauser. We know with the Yankees, Rodon, Stroman, Schmidt, and Cortez. What we didn't know is, okay, who replaces the injured player? In the Mets' case, it looks like it's going to be Tyler McGill, but we don't know yet.
Earned it this year.
He's definitely earned it. In the Yankees' case, we don't know quite yet. So I took the four guys that are in each rotation, and I took the numbers from last year, and I put them in a blender, and I added them up. Just to see, because I've heard a lot of things said on this radio station about the Mets having the worst rotation ever. The worst rotation in Met history. A horrible rotation, which, by the way, still may be the case. But I wanted it to compare it to the current Yankee rotation. So I took Carlos Rodon's numbers from last year. Took Marcus Stroman's numbers from last year. Clark Schmidt, Nestor Cortez, I put it together. And here's what I found. If you combine those four guys, they made 83 combined starts. They threw 423 combined innings. They had an ERA of 4.81. 4.81. Not very good.
Not great.
You want to write that down for me?
Yeah. 4.81.
4.81.
Got it.
The Yankees team ERA from last year, not including Gerrit Cole, 4.81. Then I took the Mets. I mean, Luis Severino through batting practice, but I included him. I have to. I have to be fair. I took Quintana. I took Manaea. I took Hauser. Combined it all together. A little bit less starts, 62 starts, because Sean Manaea was used a lot out of the bullpen. They threw a combined 394 innings, which is about 30 innings less than the Yankees combo. You know what their ERA was?
What was it?
I'm sorry. What was the Yankee ERA again?
4.81.
4.81. The Met ERA, 4.68. What up, bitches?
What's your point?
It's slightly
better.
Yeah,
it's like a run over three games better.
Yeah, that was my point.
Just
better
be
numbers.
Honest.
What's up?
The difference there is Carlos Rodon sucked last year. And that's the whole difference.
No. And Luis Severino did not suck last year, right?
All right. Point to Evan.
I mean, Jesus, you could argue.
In my mind, I got to be honest with you, Evan. Like I told you yesterday, in my mind, Luis Severino was an ace and never lost it now. That was the point of spring training I got in it that I've already forgotten he sucked last year.
No, I think, look, the Yankees and Met rotations in a weird way mirror each other at this moment. I'll explain it to you this way. Rodon and Severino are the potential aces, right? They're coming off horrible seasons last year. Severino gave up 66 runs in 89 innings. Rodon gave up 49 runs in 64 innings.
Now, Evan, you mean that. The potential aces because the aces are out.
I mean potential aces because the aces are out, but I also mean guys that have shown you in their past they can be aces.
Yeah, true.
Okay? So I look at them as similar. They both had awful years last year. The hope is, the need is, they'll be better. Jose Quintana and Marcus Stroman are very similar. You may say, well, why do you say that? When Jose Quintana pitched last year in the second half of the year, the dude was awesome. He just missed the first half of the year. In Stroman's case, he was awesome in the first half of the year last year. Then he got hurt, tried to pitch through it. It brought his ERA up. So you can see the similarities between Quintana and Stroman. Hey, if they could just give you a full season, we're good to go. Then the similarities kind of end. Because Manaea and Hauser and Cortez and Schmidt, there aren't a lot of similarities. But that top two, right. Very similar.
Yeah.
So my point is, when you are hanging with your Yankee fan friend this weekend, you can use that factoid and you don't have to give me credit.
So when the Yankee fan says the Mets rotation sucks,
yes.
You can say, well, actually, our starting four, because we're excluding the aces, our starting four are better than your
the
starting four.
The current state of rotations in New York, based
last
on
year,
numbers
obviously.
From last year.
Which are irrelevant, but whatever. Well, it helps fit your argument.
They're irrelevant until they're not relevant. If Nestor Cortez goes out and pitches great, it becomes irrelevant. If Luis Severino goes out and pitches great, it's irrelevant. I'm saying as of right now, when you look at our rotations, and I get it, this is like Jets-Giants when we played each other this year. You know, we're both kind of comparing each other, saying who's smaller, basically. The Mets have a slight edge based on the numbers from a year ago. What's up?
I just think the only thing that needs to be declared here is it's St. Patrick's Day weekend. If you're getting together and gathering and pumping beers out on St. Patty's Day and you're arguing collective ERAs between the Mets and Yankees,
yeah,
that sounds like the worst weekend.
Not non-aces, by the way.
Yes.
No. You're not arguing ERAs. You're arguing drunkenly with your friends about Yankees versus Mets. You actually can have some facts to back you up. Like you can say, okay, hey, by the way, yeah, I heard that jackass on the radio say 4-6-8 for the Mets, 4-8-1 for the Yankees. So, I'm just being helpful. You can take that information and ignore it. You have every right to. We're going to move on immediately. We're never going to talk about it again, but it's in your head, and now you have it.
By the way,
Lugie's going to use that this weekend. Don't you have a visitor this weekend you're going to hang out with?
I do. I have my Uncle Carl who's visiting for my grandma's birthday. Huge Giant fan, loves Tiki. To this day, he basically barely likes Eli Manning, even after the first Super Bowl, because he didn't like the idea that he forced the trade to the Giants. I don't think he liked the idea that he's a Manning. He got all the stuff because he's a Manning. Even after the first Super Bowl victory, he didn't like him. Anyway, no.
Is he a Met fan or a Yankee fan?
He hates baseball.
Really?
But he roots for the A's, the Diamondbacks. He's a wackadoo. He's one of these California people. He moved out to California, weirdo, much like my wife. But yeah, he's not a Yankee or a Met fan.
Nice.
It's true.
How much weed is he bringing with him?
No, he's not a weed guy. He's not a weed guy. Not a weed guy.
Sean, you can use that stat for your father. I appreciate it.
I can't wait. I'll give you another stat. Nestor Cortez, first Yankee opening day starter to be drafted and signed by the Yankees since Andy Pettitte in 98.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, they
never groom opening day starters.
Yeah. Well, think about their opening day starters lately. It's been Gerrit Cole, Luis Severino, who was international signing. Right. So
Tanaka.
It's a little. Yeah. Masahiro Tanaka, CC Sabathia.
Yeah, well.
That, I mean, those are their consistent opening day starters.
And real quickly, Jimmy Garoppolo has a home. Do you care?
No. Yes, break the glass. Luigi walked away like, I'm done.
Rams.
The LA, so he's backing up, what's his name?
Stafford. Yeah.
Matthew Stafford.
That was a destination for Zach Wilson. You guys are just going to cut him.
Geez. Well, you know what?
I'm just telling you, it's not happening.
Jim is calling from Levittown. What's up, Jim?
Nice to talk to you guys again. Just a quick little thing. A Clark Bar is very similar to a Butterfinger, so if you like Butterfingers, you'll probably like the Clark Bar.
Yeah, I don't seek out Butterfingers, but I'm still going to try it when I see it.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I just got confirmation that, and I love Tiki. Tiki's the greatest guy in the world. He's doing me the biggest favor ever by doing some of the book tour events with me, and I appreciate it. I got confirmation on our first book tour event.
When is it?
Staten Island.
Oh, lovely.
We're going to the island of Staten.
At least it's on my way home-ish.
See?
Ish.
How about that?
Ish.
Hey, Lugie, I got great news for you. What? You don't have to come, but you got to take over the show at like 5:55. You good with that? That's a win. Let's see what they did.
Book signing day.
April 10th.
Oh,
I said April 10th.
No, yeah, it was 10th.
Oh, okay,
it was
good. 10th. Right. I'm scared.
No,
like
I gave you two dates. That's right.
There you go.
Friday's the 10th. 12th.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Chef Ryan Clark show up. See what happens. You know what will happen?
What am I being left out of here? The draft?
No, a book event. You want to come to one of my book events?
No, God, no.
And would you rather come to the book event and get more radio time or no radio time and come to the book event?
I want the radio time. I don't want to take awkward selfies with people that go to the thing with you.
Well, that's very mean towards our listeners, by the way.
I know.
How is it mean to our listeners?
You don't want to take awkward pictures
with No. Let me rephrase
selfies
that.
Selfies are the must-take of like society right now.
I take that back.
Don't even want real pictures.
Yeah.
People come up like, it's got to be a selfie.
I don't want to take the pictures of them with Evan. I'll take the pictures of them with me.
They take selfies now. So you don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
just
my face
out.
Looks fat up close.
I think you're trying to get out of this, but you insulted our listeners.
Well, I didn't
very
hear half of it. I'm coming in halfway in. I'd rather have more airtime, if that's...
I'm just going to stay here and work.
No, I think that's great. I think the Nets play that night, so you'll get like time into the Nets game. Okay. It'll be great. Let's go to Brian in Westbury. Hey, Brian.
What up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Big fan of you guys, of course. Just had a quick story about the Clark Bar. So I remember back in the day, I'm a big Mets fan, and they were throwing O. Henry bars on the field. I'm not sure
what
team it was.
I'll tell you the team. I'll tell you the player. It was a guy it was a guy by the name of Henry Rodriguez. He was a left-hand hitting outfielder, and he played for two teams. So It was either the Expos or the Dodgers where he jumped out at me. In fact, Henry Rodriguez, I think, hit 4 home runs in a spring training game, which is like insane. Like, who the hell gets 4 at-bats in a spring training game? So when Henry was having a big year, I'm pretty sure it was the Expos, they would throw Oh Henry bars at him.
Yeah.
Kind of like Reggie.
Reggie bars. Never seen one of these.
You never seen one of the what?
Oh Henry bars.
Really?
I'm looking at it now, and it has zero registration in my memory bank.
Yeah, honestly, I only remember it from Henry Rodriguez, the outfielder. The left-hand hitting outfielder.
Well, how did that relate to Clark bars? We should have left them on. I don't know.
I apologize. I have no idea.
I think they may have tasted similar. I'm still laughing at the idea of Tiki seeking out a candy bar. I don't seek out Butterfinger.
You wouldn't seek out a candy bar if
you're just confused by the way that I word things.
Yeah, like I don't know. I've never been in a Stop and Shop and like I'm seeking out a Twix.
But you would if I described
no,
a candy
you
bar.
You do. You have a craving for it. You would just say, "Oh, I'm just craving a Twix." I'll say, "I'm seeking out a Twix."
No, but isn't it also attached to the fact that you've never had one before?
Yes.
So let me walk you through this, Sean.
Okay.
As a larger human being who thinks he's tasted everything. If Tiki or I came on the air and started describing a candy bar that you've never heard of, and you're like, holy crap, that sounds good. Wait a second, it's got chocolate, it's got peanut butter, it's got jelly in it. Oh my God, your head's exploding. Let's say it's called a Jelly-O bar, whatever. I just made it up. And you're loving the description.
It sounds good.
It sounds great. We call it the Evan and Tiki bar?
Jeez, let's make that thing.
I think I just created a bar.
You definitely did.
And I said, oh, dude, it's a brand new bar. It's out there. It's everywhere. You wouldn't say, I got to go out and seek it. I got to go out and seek a Jelly-O bar and then go look for it like that. Because that's really, I think, what happened to Tiki. Never heard of the bar.
No, I think Tiki's right. I just wouldn't say I'm going to go seek it out. I think I would just pull up to the gas station, get 20 unleaded, and go, you got that Jelly-O bar?
Jeff is in Mount Clair. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're good, man.
Good.
All right, awesome. So I just want to say that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be RFK's running mate.
How do
and
we
the
know?
Reason why he's, well, the reason why he's not going to be is because RFK's handler is a guy by the name of Rabbi Shmuley. I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, but he's absolutely getting wrecked by people like Candace Owens on X.
Okay.
So you can check out her X and see what she's saying about it. And he hawks for his daughter's adult toy company, amongst other things. And his dubious and very suspicious background is being Michael Jackson's confidant as well. And then they had a falling out, and then Michael Jackson passed away. So there's some conspiracies about that. I'm not saying that that's true or not. I'm just saying this guy is shady. So Aaron Rodgers is going to look at that. Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. He's going to look at that and say, well, this guy, if I tag on to him, my reputation as like kind of like an outsider type of thing, that's going to be totally trash because, I mean, RFK is totally compromised with this guy's handler.
Yeah, but you know what the problem, though, Jeff, is? Aaron loves RFK. Like, they're already close friends. They've been friends for a while. This is not this political figure in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's actually an environmental lawyer seeking out a random football player to be his running mate. It's him seeking out his friend to be his running mate. They're already close. So Aaron either doesn't know, doesn't care, will never know, will never care. So or he would know by now, I guess, that whole story. Anyhow, nice try. I didn't follow the story very well.
Yeah.
But
I think
my point remains the same.
I think this guy's a little bit off the, you know, I don't know, a little odd.
Are you talking about the rabbi or the caller?
Yeah, Rabbi Shmuley.
Oh, okay.
And so what he was saying was
so Rabbi Shmuley's a real guy?
He is. I'm looking him up right now. He has two books.
Interesting.
Kosher Jesus and Kosher Sex.
Can't put cheese on that.
You know, it's funny.
I don't know. I think what he's saying is Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be associated with a guy like Rabbi Shmuley.
Interesting.
Jacob Shmuel.
Over the last few days, I've been reading my book, My Mets Bible, into an audio form because it'll
be an
audio book coming out in early May. My Mets Bible, you can pre-order on Amazon. And as I've been doing it, I found myself really enjoy reading an audio book. And I was thinking, wow, maybe I should be an audio book reader. Like, why not? I think that's going to be my second book. What was it called again? Kosher Sex?
Kosher Sex.
Yeah. I think the second book I'm ever going to read as an audio voicer will be Kosher Sex. Will I be able to get through it?
I doubt it.
Probably not. Oh, goodness. Let's go to Frank in Babylon. How you doing, Frank?
How you doing? Good afternoon.
What's up, man?
What's up?
I want to congratulate Tiki. I think he's going to get in. And I want to take him to dinner with the rest of you guys. And congratulations, thank you for getting into the, would it be the first twin
Harris Twins to get into the Hall of Fame?
No, there's never been. There's never been brothers either.
Wow.
To be honest with you. Huh. So hopefully that happens one of these days, Frank. Hopefully that happens.
I think it's going to. I really do. And it'll definitely be like your calls. What kind of twins are you guys?
We're identical.
Identical. That's even better.
All right. Of course.
I want to talk about that. I just want to talk about the Yankees. I think the Major League Baseball should have an electric strike zone. That's number one. And I think they're doing
hey, Frank, by the way, speaking of which, we are not on SNY today. For those that are listening on the radio, maybe you are listening because you usually watch. We're not on TV. The reason we're not on TV today is there's this thing called a spring breakout game where these prospects of the Mets are playing. It's going on around, all around spring training. And one of the things they're doing in the spring breakout game, which I have not watched,
Is it on now?
It is on. It's been on all day, but we've had college basketball on.
Right.
It's over now. The game is over. Okay, Axe telling me it's over. It was a 7-inning game, but you know what else they did in this game? I'm not even kidding. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Electronic.
Correct.
Wow.
The strike zone was an electronic strike zone.
Interesting.
Actually, put Ack on the mic. I got to talk to him now.
Right, Ack, did you watch this?
Ack was giving me updates. Ryan Clifford went Oppo Taco. So did you watch the game, Ack?
I did. It was actually very cool.
So did you notice the strike, like the lack of an... Because there's an umpire
back
there,
right? Umpire's there, but they could challenge the pitch. And it's sort of like tennis. But the best thing about it, as strange as it was done very quickly. It's done within, like, I'd say under 15 seconds.
Oh, wait, so let me get this straight then, because I think my brain had it wrong then. Every ball and strike wasn't the electric. It was just you had a chance to challenge one.
Yeah,
as
well,
a batter
I guess technically it every pitch is, but it only shows up when you challenge it.
Interesting. Right. Yes.
So the umpire is given ball strike, and then he calls ball a strike. And then if
No.
He calls the pitch.
Yes.
And if you think he was wrong in what the call was,
I got you.
You could change.
There are two ways.
So it's a backup. So the electronic referee is the backup. It's not actually.
Yeah.
Supplanting the umpire behind the dish.
There are two things they've toyed with. One is this, which I thought it was the opposite, so I appreciate you correcting us, which is the batter and or catcher pitcher have a chance in each at-bat to challenge a call, and it is instant, like Ack described.
Right.
But everything else is an umpire, right? Or everything is computerized. I'm at the point where just make everything computerized then. Like if you've got a machine, balls and strikesing everything, balls and strikesing everything. It's like a new term.
Right.
May as well just have the whole thing.
Yeah. Why have the
they do that in the minors, by the way. In the minors they do this
the other way around.
Where you can challenge a ball or strike. For these kids that were playing, it's like normal habit. Did we win? Did the Mets win, by the way?
Yeah.
Nice.
Ryan Clifford looked good. Yeah. Nolan McLean on the mound, I thought looked very good.
Nice. How'd my boy Jet do?
He did not do that well, but you know, it's like one of those games that you can't really hurt yourself. You can only help yourself.
Right.
So he didn't hurt himself.
All right. Thank you, Ark.
A lot of those guys look pretty good, though, today.
That's good to hear. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, so they were the reason I brought that up is when that caller mentioned the strike zone, it's going to happen, man. Cool. I'm not sure if it's going to be fully electronic or it's going to be what we just described.
It's going to be the backup.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Do you think a pitcher will throw an electric slider?
you'd have been said it better if you would have delivered it like this. You think the pitcher will throw an electric slide?
That's good, Tinky. You're funny, man. In the next couple of minutes, St. John's is going to look to continue their run in the Big East tourney, taking on the number one seed UConn out of the Big East. Providence Marquette's a little bit later on. But after Rick Pitino and the Johnnies pulled off their victory over Seton Hall yesterday, Coach Pitino was asked a very good question. It was a very solid question. It was like, hey, what do you guys need to do to beat UConn? Here's what he said.
UConn tomorrow, what do you have to do to knock them off?
We got to have about six of their players get COVID.
What an answer.
Oh, that's amazing.
Would that inspire confidence, though, if you're a member of St. John's?
It's the perfect amount of levity against the number one team in the country and who's likely to destroy you.
So, I'm just making sure.
Just make it loose.
And some coaches
nothing to lose.
Some coaches like selling the underdog stuff to their locker room anyway. So it loosens everybody up, gives everybody a laugh.
I was thinking, as we get closer to opening day, the Mets are the underdog. Do you think that would go over well if Carlos Mendoza said that? Like, hey, what's it going to take to win the NL East?
I think
half the Braves are going to have to drop dead.
No, I think...
I mean, like, that's a little different.
I think there's more parity in Major League Baseball, right? You can win any given day, even if you're inferior, right? Whereas in basketball... especially college basketball, with the NILs and the best players going to the places that can pay the most, there's a chance you can get destroyed in some of these games.
I gotcha. Should be a fun day, though. St. John's against UConn, Providence against Marquette, and then tomorrow night will be the Big East Championship. And good win by the Knicks last night. Good little job. Did you stay up for the whole thing, Luke?
I absolutely did. No.
Did you follow my advice of start the game 45 minutes late on DVR and skip the commercials?
No, because it is good advice, but I don't have kids. I live close by, so I could stay up till 2 in the morning. I normally do. So I started right at the start time.
Did you freak out when OG Anunoby was screaming like Monica Seles?
No. No, I did not.
Was Monica Seles the tennis player who screamed?
She was the one that went, ah!
Yeah,
ah!
Okay, so I got that analogy right.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I wasn't sure it was like someone else.
Twitter's having a field day after I did that, but
okay. Didn't she also get stabbed?
I wasn't referring to that.
I know, but that's
wasn't
what Nancy I was thinking of.
No,
she did.
Oh, you're right, Monica did.
That's why I very quickly said she did make noises.
Right.
Because I didn't want it to be perceived as that kind of joke, because obviously it's not.
No,
and then you had to bring it up, and that makes me feel worse.
Because that's the first thing I thought about when you brought her name up.
You don't
up.
Think all-time great tennis player who used to like,
I don't remember her screaming when she hit backhands or forehands.
Let's just put it this way. When I used to watch Monica Seles play tennis, I made sure my mom was not in the house. I'm just leaving it at that.
You're funny. Did you freak out though when OG got?
No, I really didn't. You're going to love this. So I watched the Knicks game on mute, and what I was listening to was Joe Rogan podcast with Cat Williams, where they went off, I mean, the deep end and then the deep end. So I am watching the Knicks game and listening to that.
By the way, I have to admit.
And by the way, it was calm to watch a game. It's a good way to watch sports.
I was going
to
say, I haven't heard Joe Rogan and Cat Williams, but I have consumed a lot of non-sports material by listening to it during games. Now, the problem is when you don't listen to a game, there could be a gem you miss.
Sure.
There could be something that's said. Like the other day, I brought up that Keith Hernandez awkwardness with Reggie Jackson. So you never know.
Yeah.
But we only have so much time before we have to sleep. You know, like tonight, I'm going to go home. I got a lot of things I want to do. Got to keep my sons happy, my wife happy. And then there's other things I want to do. And so sometimes you got to take multiple things. You got to combine it together. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do it. Now, there's certain things you can't combine, obviously. Right.
You're lucky you have a drive.
Excuse me?
You're lucky you have a drive, so you can pick up on some of those things.
That is true. I do that a lot on the drives as well.
I will send you guys Neil deGrasse Tyson's story on thermonuclear fusion in the Sun.
Does it talk about aliens?
Briefly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
I could combine some things. Just put a hot plate next to your bed.
Very smart. Let's go to Andy in New Haven. What's up, Andy?
What's up, Andy?
What's up, gentlemen? Good afternoon. So, quick Yankee point before I make my Aaron Rodgers point. I just want to give some credit to Nestor Cortes, who just a few years ago was DFA'd by the Yankees, and now in 2024 will be taking the ball on opening day as a starter. I think that's really impressive. And
Andy, that's what I was getting at when we talked about that earlier. It's just like the story is just—it's just cool.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Honestly, couldn't have no better guy on the team and all that. And I'm extremely confident in him to pick up the slack from Garrett Cole on opening day. And if he slots into that number one spot in the rotation, I don't know if they're you know. I don't know how they're going
to
work
it out. They need
him
to be better. They just need him to be the guy he was 2 years ago. Last year was a disaster. You hope it was only health-related, because one of the big keys, even if Cole wasn't hurt, but certainly more so with him hurt, is they need Nasty Nestor to be the guy from 2022.
Absolutely. And so on the Aaron Rodgers thing, funny enough, so politics and PR is kind of actually my day job. So this has been a bit of a double-edged sword for me to enjoy over the past week or so. And my first thought when I heard the rumors of Aaron Rodgers being the vice presidential candidate is when the two of them get to the White House, I think the first move of the new Kennedy administration has to be to name Joe Beningo press secretary.
Oh, God.
Can you knowing all of the to-do about classified documents.
Forget that, Andy. Can you imagine him in front of the press corps?
Oh, my God. That is a freaking dumb question, bro. Yeah, I've thought about
Anderson,
this.
What are you doing, Anderson? You can't ask me that question. What are you talking about?
I've thought about this a lot. I actually, and I think this is a good promotion for Joe. Joe's on the air on Saturday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm locked in. I can't wait to hear what Joe has to say about this. I know in the past, like, he's been intrigued by RFK.
Yeah.
Like, Joe's aware about what's going on. Like, there's this belief. He'd be like, who the hell's RFK or not? No, he knows full well who RFK is. So I'd be very curious how he handles this tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'll also be disappointed if he's talking about, like, something else. I need to hear him about this immediately.
I hope he doesn't lead Garrett Cole tomorrow. I need it immediately on, do you want him quarterback and running for VP
here? Let me address this right. Though it would be brilliant if he, like, builds it up and says, I'll address it at noon. Mm-hmm. And makes us all wait for 2 hours. But, no, I'm very curious what he's going to say about that. You know, it's funny. I've said to you, opening day is symbolic. It really doesn't mean that much. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Mets over the last 10 to 15 years, they've had a lot of randoms, as you will, start opening day. Dylan G started an opening day. Tyler McGill started an opening day.
So that's why it feels not important to you.
Right. But there's a but coming.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Yankees opening day starters over the last decade, there aren't randoms. Like, let me just give you the names real quick. Garrett Cole, Garrett Cole, Garrett Cole, Garrett Cole. Masahiro Tanaka. Luis Severino. And he was very good. Think mm-hmm. of him in that light.
Yeah.
Masahiro Tanaka, Masahiro Tanaka, Masahiro Tanaka. CeCe Sabathia, CeCe Sabathia, CeCe Sabathia, CeCe Sabathia, CeCe Sabathia, and CeCe Sabathia. Then you go to Chen Meng Long, who was good for a while.
Yeah.
And then you've got your random, and that was Carl Pavano. But that was 2007. That was 17 years ago.
Right, I just retired.
The Yankees have had a run of opening day starters being like the true blue ace or the guy that closely resembles it. The Mets, over the years, have had bad luck. They've had some randomness. There's years in which they haven't had great pitching. The Yankees have had this really be an honor. So,
how many consecutive opening day starters have the Mets had in that same time period?
Like the same guy? DeGrom did it a bunch of times, but I'll give you the list because they've had some random ones. Last year was Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
The year before that was Tylor McGill.
Yep.
Before that was DeGrom, DeGrom, DeGrom. Before that was Syndergaard, Syndergaard. Before that was Matt Harvey. Before that, Bartolo Colon. Before that, Dylan G. Before that, Jonathan Nease. Before that, Johan Santana. Before that, Mike Pelfrey.
Wow.
Before that, you've got the legendary names, even if they were washed up. Johan, 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 Glavin, Glavin, Pedro, Glavin, Glavin, Leiter, Leiter, Hampton, Leiter.
Right, but there's not a 6 or 7 year or 5 year period where it's the same guy.
No, the longest run they've had since Doc Gooden was three. Johan Santana and Jacob DeGrom.
Hmm.
Both did 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Doc did 4 years in a row. And then before that, you had Tom Seaver in the late 60s, early 70s right. do it like 9 years in a row.
All this tells me Nestor Cortes is the right decision.
But think about this. Nestor Cortes doesn't fit. Like, when you think about all those names I just mentioned, this is the most random Yankee opening day starter they've had since Carl Pavano.
But if you're going to have to be forced to go down this route, the drafted, signed by, fan favorite mm-hmm. kind of guy. Now, look, he may stink this year. That is a name I think synonymously Yankee fans, I think, are always going to like.
By the way, I 100% agree with you. If this was simply, it's an honor and it's symbolic, the answer was always Nestor Cortes for the reasons you just gave. If it was, hey, I just want to put my best starter out there mm-hmm. under the guise that he's going to make the most starts, which is such a fallacy because he's not getting through the full season making all the starts. Like, whether it's Rodon or Stroman or Cortes, they're going to miss time. They're going to miss a start here and there. So the idea of I got to maximize my ace. Like, yeah, if you have a real ace, like Garrett Cole, maybe. But if you were going to reward somebody based on their history with you, it's Cortes. If you were doing it based on history, I don't know who it would be. I guess Rodon or Stroman, which they thought about.
Nestor still seems right to me.
No, he does. I agree. Based on the heartstrings issue.
Well, like, no, I think what Sean is saying is it drafted, developed,
yeah.
and it wasn't.
Like, Nestor Cortes is a Yankee.
Right, and it wasn't clean. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, he's definitely a starter. I mean, what was it, Max, before 2 years ago? 90-something innings?
Yeah, whatever it was. He was also he was DFA'd.
Yeah.
Like, he was bouncing around baseball. The Yankees brought him back.
He also had this label, opener.
Yeah.
You know?
That is true. Oh, by the way, Tiki. See, I don't want to forget things that I wanted to get to before mm-hmm. this week is over. Sometimes someone will say something, and we put them in the Tiki chair, because Tiki will tell us what he really meant. Well, earlier today in the city of Chicago, Sammy Sosa. I once had a drink down in the Dominican Republic. It was called Sammy Sosa. And I actually...
The
drink was a Sammy Sosa.
Was it named after Sammy Sosa?
It was. Huh. And I said to the guy, do you have a Pedro Martinez?
Huh.
And he looked at me like I had 10 heads. And I said, what's the issue? I mean, if I'm thinking of legendary Dominican baseball players, no offense to Sammy Sosa, I'm thinking of Pedro Martinez.
Well, maybe Sammy Sosa had been to Sammy Sosa's to have Sammy Sosa.
That's a fair point. Sammy Sosa was in Chicago earlier today and was asked a question about kind of connecting with the Cubs organization. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, T.
Yeah.
Him and the Cubs had a falling out like 20 years ago.
It was like ire.
Yeah.
Like hate.
Well, like he literally left. I think the final game of the season, this final year with the Chicago Cubs, like he left, never showed up, left the game early, and they've never made up. And now they have a new owner in Tom Ricketts, and there's never been like that day for Sammy Sosa. So Sammy was asked about that, and it led to something else, which you will tell us what he meant by this. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Sammy Sosa.
Is it time for you and Tom Ricketts to sit down to get back into their good graces?
Well, like I say, you know, I'm a mature man. I think that it's a possibility that we can do that. I'm open. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I have, like I said, I have a lot of misunderstanding in the past, but now I'm a real man. I feel great. So I recognize my mistake. So, hey, why not?
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids?
This is, like I say, this is not a question that I expected from you.
This is not the question I expected from you.
I mean, I wouldn't either. He's talking about, are you going to have a reconciliation with the Chicago Cubs? And Sammy Sosa saying, yeah, there were some mistakes that I made. I think in his mind, just the relationship, like mismanaging the relationship with the organization, not the mistakes I made were sticking a needle and steroids in my ass every weekend, right? I think that's not where I thought that was going.
That's why I didn't want to play it for you before the show. I want to hear your honest reaction to that.
Wow.
So, I mean, are you defending Sammy that he just didn't say it coming?
No. Look, he clearly was doing steroids. I just think he didn't know how to answer that. He doesn't know if it's okay to admit it.
Oh, my God.
And at this point, nobody cares.
I know.
So, he should just admit it.
Well, it's also, we're at the point
and by
now.
The way, he would have taken, I don't know who the interviewer was, but he would have just taken him completely off guard if he said, yeah, I did steroids. So what?
Yeah. Oh, I think it would have been a big story, but it would have been closure to this.
It would have been badass, though.
It would have been. I agree with you.
It would have ended it because now nobody's going to speculate about it anymore.
See, what Sammy Sosa has to realize, what Barry Bonds has to realize, because Barry's come clean, but not really. It's like this gray area with him. It's over, dude. Like, it's over in terms of us caring, but you know where it's really over? It's over in terms of judgment. We know you did it.
Yeah.
Your denials or non-denials, they don't matter anymore. So if nothing's going to change, if my view, your view, and everyone out there's view is not changing, just say it. Like you said, like a badass. And be like, yeah, and what's it to you? That's it.
But you know what? There's something honorable, I think, about living this way, whether you're
living
Maguire.
Living the lie?
Yeah, because
I'll
give you a wrestling example. There's a lot of people that think the Montreal Screwjob, look it up, was a work. So all these years later, no one has admitted that it's a work, but a lot of us think it is. There's something honorable about just keeping this going maybe until they die.
Loogie, I don't want this to turn into something else.
Okay.
People who think that's a work are the stupidest human beings on the planet.
You don't want to go down this rabbit hole with me here.
It was not a work, dude. It was an actual thing.
Sure. You believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want.
Dude, this is worse than like crazy aliens in the middle of the planet theories. This is a conspiracy theory that's so ridiculous. Like, dude, sometimes in wrestling, things are real.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's scripted. A lot of it's pretend. I get it. I'm not naive.
Okay.
The Montreal Screwjob was a real screwjob.
Sure. Why would Bret Hart, who's leaving for the competitor, he writes WCW, why would he look at the hard cam and why would the director call for the shot if he's leaving to go to the competitor?
They didn't know what the hell
was
going on.
Why did nobody see the punch? Why would Vince McMahon sell limping around when this guy's going as competitor? Bret Hart's the martyr. He's leaving. Vince McMahon becomes the evil character.
Now,
everybody worked out. If it was
Loogie,
a work, that's how they would have done it.
Now, Loogie, you can stop right now. That was a work between me and Loogie. You know why we did that? You know what that exercise was all about?
Because you agree with me.
No. You forgot what the exercise was about.
I don't know
about
the damn exercise.
Arguing. It's about getting Tiki down the rabbit hole.
Montreal screw job, you're welcome.
I wonder what Tiki thinks. Is he on side Lugier or on side Evan? We'll find out Monday after Tiki spends hours upon hours studying the Montreal screw job.
That's what it's actually called?
Tiki, do not do this on a work computer. There's been a lot of bachelor parties in Montreal. Do not Google that.
They do have great strip clubs. We're going to get texts from Tiki all weekend about this.
Trust me. If you search Montreal screw job.
I mean, it's written as unscripted, so.
It is unscripted. It was a complete, literal.
It's pro wrestling, Evan.
All right, whatever. But it's written as unscripted.
Yeah, but there are things in pro wrestling that weren't meant to happen. Like, did Vince McMahon plan on tearing his ACLs when he ran into the ring at Royal Rumble 2005? No. He's a schmuck who tore both of his ACLs.
But it worked.
He's also a horrible human, but yes.
It worked out for both parties, though. It worked out for Brett. It worked out for Vince. Now, WCW screwed it up with Brett, but it worked out for Brett. He came off like a martyr, and it worked out for the WWF, who went on this great run with Vince at the helm as an evil character.
Tiki will decide Monday at exactly 3:35 p.m. Eastern time. He will announce, after he went down the rabbit hole, who's right, work or shoot. But please remind me what we were talking about before we
talking about Sammy Sosa not wanting to finally admit that he took steroids.
Yeah, I think that... Dude, it doesn't matter anymore. And by it doesn't matter anymore, like, you're not getting in the Hall of Fame by what you say. It's not changing anything. It doesn't change anything. They've already decided what they wanted to decide about you. It's over. Sammy should have just been like, you're damn right I did it, and what's it to you? Doesn't matter. And if they announce him at Wrigley Field, I bet you gets a standing ovation. We're over this. Aren't we all over this stuff?
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. I've heard a lot of admittances and non-admittances to steroid use. Sammy Sosa, I now feel the worst for after that answer, because it's like he doesn't know what he's allowed to say or not say anymore, and it just sounded so innocent. I'm Team Sammy.
Because he didn't see it coming?
Yes! I liked that he was so honest. I didn't expect this question. That, to me, is better than an admittance. I forgive him.
But by the way, Tiki, you'd agree that your interpretation is that Sammy's way of saying, dude, you got me.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm caught on the carpet, and there's nothing I could do. So all I'm going to do is ask you why you asked me that question.
There's nothing else I can say.
You're right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.